Mr. Pullen, reel 20.
Now, you're commissioned with the Glasgow in 1912 to go to South America. Were there any special preparations made for foreign commissions that you wouldn't make for service in home waters?
No, none whatever. When I joined the ship's company had turned over from another ship. And I was another stranger on board there, luckily. So we just done the steam trial off period, and then geared it on now to South America.
Was the Glasgow a happy ship?
Well, till about the ending of the commission, after about 2 years, men, I suppose, began to get fed up with each other. And I don't know, I had one or two fights myself on board. But all in all, she wasn't too bad, really. But you get that one or two bullies fighting men, you see. That's the trouble, really, you see. You get a bully on board unless you can calm him down. You're always in trouble with him, you see.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in trouble with a man like that.
When you went to South America, what was the routine activities of the ship?
Just the usual cleaning up and evolutions and preparing for war, you know, and loading machine business and keeping the ship clean and instructions. Really, you know, in any case, emergency.
Mm-hmm.
Our first stopping place was at Tenerife. And there was nothing much excitable about that. Next place was Montevideo. And it was there again. I was growing a beard. And a couple of officers went ashore, the gunnery officer and the boat officer. And they, of course, officers had to be on board 12 o'clock at night now. They wasn't allowed to show all night, see. And these two officers, the commander said, who's bringing you back house tonight, see? Now that bug-whiskered face leading seaman, me, actually. I took the skiff about 11 o'clock that night and tied up alongside the wall. I went up and had a little railway lines all here, see. And I was looking for these officers because they were in box sets and evening dress, you know, see. They hadn't arrived at 12 o'clock. And all at once I see a policeman come along there, draw his sword, and he struck a man, but whether he killed him, I don't know. So I jumped down in my skiff, undone the painter, and rode away for a bit, you know, they all, see. Then I went back about an hour after. And these officers come down then, singing, you know, drunk. So, of course, I had to row them back on board. And that night I put one officer in the other officer's cabin. Next morning when he was sober, they come to me and said, how did I get in Mr. Lawrence's cabin? So you see it. So that's that.
What was life like for sailors on shore leave in South America?
Oh, not very good at all. We had a sailor's home we could go to.
Where was this?
That was in Buenos Aires, see. And it was run by a man called Mr. Fellows. But it was a terrible part of the world, really, for corruption, you know. We used to see steamers leaving on a weekend with women and men, you know, see, characters like. Come back Monday, one or two dead, you know, shot that, see. And I think it's about the worst part of the world I've ever known for corruption, you know, see.
Can you give me any other examples of this corruption?
Yeah. Our navigator and our engineer stopped at a hotel in Buenos Aires. And the owner of the hotel said, I got a nice young English girl upstairs. So they said, we'd like to see her. Whenever she was crying, she'd come out there as a worker, like, see, but they wanted her, you know, the prostitute. However, our engineer now put the navigator's clothes on her and worked out of that hotel and paid her fare to come to England, catch a boat for England. Now, we're scraping our ship's bottom in the Buenos Aires dock when a man comes on board and he wants this girl. So I was ordered now to get 10 men. We had loaded rifles, you know, 10 rounds of ammunition. Ordered them out the ship till the gendarmes come, see. The most corruptest country in the world, it is, see. And, however, they didn't get their girl, and the girl got home. But then there was another case where they used to stop them in Rio de Janeiro. He used to advertise in this country, because this man that run the sailor's home in Buenos Aires, he come to England and told him about the white trade trafficking that was going on, see. And what happened now, detectives stopped at Buenos Aires, at Rio de Janeiro, and then his ship's coming out there with English girls on, going out, you know, dressmakers and all this, see. It wasn't for that, it was for this corruption, see.
Mm. When you were in Buenos Aires, where would you go ashore? What kind of places would sailors go to?
Oh, pubs, that was all. Mostly pub. One particular pub was the Tubby in Amber, as I knew all right.
What's it called?
Tubby in Amber.
Tubby in Amber.
A pub called the Tubby in Amber. That's all where the sailors used to get out there, see. I didn't do much time ashore at all because it wasn't worth it. The only time I'd done ashore would be down the Falkland Islands, you know, see.
Why did you go ashore? Why did you prefer going ashore on the Falkland Islands?
Well, because there's more English people, see. More Dagos in the other part of the world, see.
Did you prefer Montevideo to Buenos Aires?
Yes, I did.
Why was that?
I don't know. It seemed more civilized somehow. And, of course, I think the officers liked it more because there was race courses there and stuff like that, see.
When you were in South America and you went on shore leave, how did you manage for money?
Well, we used to change our money, look, see.
How would you do that?
They had the paymaster on board would usually do it for you. Take a sovereign from you, see, and give you back so many, what do you call them now? Mil reis and reis, you see. Each country we went in, that I think there was four different coins we used to juggle with there. That was Brazil, and Argentina and Uruguay.
So you always got your South American money aboard ship from the paymaster,
didn't
you?
Oh, yes. Mm.
Now, when you were on these long commissions at sea, what would the routine of the day be if you were on a long cruise at sea?
Oh,
start at the beginning of the day and take me right through what the routine of the ship would be.
You'd have to start doing physical drill. And, of course, the different men were told off their watches, you see. The routine was altogether different. We have tea at about 3 in the afternoon at sea, so that the reliefs could get to their jobs, you know, lookouts and helmsmen and men in the chains who are taking the depth of the water, let's see. So, in the morning, we'd have our breakfast if you wasn't seasick, and you'd carry on cleaning the ship up, physical drill, and instructions, the loading machine. The day went on all through like that, but perhaps bad weather. If the weather cleared, they used to pipe down, squeeze you down and dry up the upper deck. I always had to keep the upper deck nice and clean, see? And different watches would lay about, ready to be called for another job, see?
How were your watches organized?
Oh, our watches would work out, you know, and you start the morning watch and the forenoon watch, the two dog watches, and the middle watch, and then back again to the morning watch. And if you were, say you're in charge of men, you'd have to see that your company men were told off for lookouts, you know, either side the bridge. And another one would have to be helmsman. And then you got you always had two seaboat screws standing by in case of trouble.
What sort of trouble?
Well, anything happened to the ship, let's see. You got seaboat screws always ready to take away, you know, everybody that they can save.
Now, if you were on one of the night watches, that would be a four-hour period, wouldn't it?
Yes, except the dog watch.
Except the dog watch, yeah. But when you were on the night watches, how would you pass the four-hour period at sea? What would be the routine?
Oh, you sit about and wait, lay about, you know. They say, helmsman, he'd only do 2 hours at the wheel, see. The other 2 hours, he would be in his hammock. I don't know.
Sorry?
After you've done your trick, you could rest, you could sleep. Men used to lay about and sleep quite a lot. If they didn't sleep, they was laying about the decks, let's see. Usually not feeling like you do in harbour, I think. Perhaps a bit seasick, some of them. It's all according to what the seas was like at the time. If the seas was calm and all that, see, you carry on your daily routine on board. But if it was rough and all that sort of thing, everything had to be prepared for in case of emergency. I know one ship I was in, the Thunderer, I was the quartermaster, and I used to take the morning watch with the gunnery officer so that the deck officers could prepare to take on the morning forenoon watch, from the morning watch. And I used to sit up around the funnel waiting for any news with a whistle, you know, pipe. And one time, Vian, have you ever heard of Vian? Have you ever heard of that ship called the Altmark? Well, Vian, he was the gunnery lieutenant at the time. And I always had to be near him when anything was happening, see? And this particular morning, he sent one of the cadets down to find out about a certain star. Well, I was up against the funnel, you know, born, see. And this cadet jumped down off the fore bridge right in front of me, see. Big clumsy lout, he said. I said, "What's wrong?" He said, I got to find a certain star, petty officer. Where do I find him? Go down in my mess, I said, about 22 of them down there, see. And they used to put this down in their book, you know. They used to run a book every quarter, like a magazine, you know, see. And lots of little things like that.
Mm. When you weren't on duty on the watch, how would you be spending your time? Would you have other duties if you weren't?
Oh, no, just say you was on the lookout. If you was on the lookout, you'd be looking out all the time. You happen to see a ship in the distance, all that, see? You'd report. Or if you see boat's crew, or you just lay by there with your life belts on, see? Ready to launch the sea boats in case anything had trouble.
And if you weren't on duty at all, you were off duty, your time was your own, how would you spend it? What kind of things would you do?
Perhaps you'd be doing a bit of tiddly work, perhaps, you know, like sewing ships in wool, or doing a bit of sewing of your own sort. or getting your ditty box done, having a look at your girlfriend and all this sort of thing, see? And or just what might happen casually with men, see?